Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sunny Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick, some show notes if you are looking for some wrestling in the next couple of days. Tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, like usual. AIW in Parma, Ohio. Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana. DFW in Halton City, Texas. WrestleFest in Danbury, Connecticut. And PPW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Tomorrow night, Woo America, where you can find myself in Bremerton, Washington. All-Star Wrestling in Cloverdale, B.C. Oregon Wrestle Club in Portland, Oregon. World's Finest Wrestling in Connersville, Indiana. MAPW in Vermilion, South Dakota. NLP in Anniston, Alabama. Pro Wrestling King in Niles, Michigan. NWWA in Independence, Oregon. NGW in Crawfordsville, Indiana. Supreme coming back to Madison, Indiana. Taco Libre happening in Dallas, Texas. UCW in Sonoy, Georgia. And Northwest Pro in Vaughan, Washington. So lots of wrestling out there. If you're in our neck of the wood, there's a whole lot going on tomorrow. So find yourself a show. Go support wherever you want to go support. And let's keep wrestling healthy up here in our area. QT, lots of going on. Our guest will be joining us shortly. But there's a lot of choices tomorrow. If you're in the Midwest, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, tons of shows happening.
Well, Son, I was kind of, my ears perked up when I heard that NWP is going to have a card in Vaughan, Washington. For all our listeners out there that don't know where Vaughan, Washington is, can you describe where that is, Sign Guy? And who may be on the card?
Vaughan, Washington is also on the Kitsap Peninsula here in Washington. It's probably 20-ish minutes away from Bremerton. And on the card tomorrow, you'll have Chuck Payne, JB Moonshine, Adam Reyes, JD Mason, and, of course, the commissioner of Northwest Pro, Y period T period Jones.
Wow. That Y period T period Jones is certainly put in the frequent flyer miles.
He is a frequent flyer indeed.
Now, can you tell us what building in Vaughan, Washington that will be at?
Northwest Pro running in the Civic Center there in Vaughan.
Oh, okay. Civic Center, okay. Now, do you have any idea who Y period, B period Jones will have in his stable at the Pimp Nation?
Well, I can't confirm or deny any of that, but you also have to consider he is the commissioner there. So a little bit different role for Y period, T period. And also,
maybe,
QT, I'd be very remiss if I did not mention that tonight in Shelton, Washington, there is a benefit show for the local school going on. So wrestling in Shelton, Washington tonight as well.
Well, maybe my longtime wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington will be there. But I can't tell our audience who my sources are. But they have been a source of inspiration and, most importantly, information.
Possibly.
Information that I have used on many questions throughout the years to our guests. Those Shelton connections have proved invaluable.
Although I think Kelly Klein was on the verge of punching you in the face when you brought up your wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, in a rumor that she classified as patently false and she strongly believed you had made up. She was very angry.
Boy, I'll have to go back and listen to that interview. Yes.
She was very livid when you pointed out your wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, believed that Tommy Dreamer had assaulted her with a kendo stick. She thinks it was unfounded rumor and speculation started by someone outside of Shelton, Washington.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I vaguely remember that. It's like a foggy day at the Pacific Ocean, the creeping tide coming in. I vaguely remember Kelly Klein getting mad at me. Yes.
As have many others, but I believe our guest has joined us. Do we have our guest with us? Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes, you do. It's a special caller.
Well, special caller, go ahead and introduce yourselves to the listeners.
I am Mr. Set the Tone, a former Pacific Northwest Cruiserweight champion and now currently residing in Texas, the Phoenix Kid.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the show. And now I have to explain to everyone, you are the Phoenix Kid from Texas via Alaska down to the Northwest, back to Texas, not from Arizona.
Exactly. I've actually never been to Arizona. Hopefully we change that this year. Finally back home-ish, kind of. So it's good to be back.
One of the things that happened to you since last you were on the program that I wanted to make sure we covered today is several weeks ago at a CPW show in Marysville, Washington, you lost the aforementioned Cruiserweight Championship, and then you gave a very emotional interview immediately after that. Can you tell the fans what the mindset was for that match and for that interview afterwards?
Going into the match, I had heard last minute that my original opponent, Vienzo, wasn't able to make it, and they weren't telling me who I was going to face. I went the entire night not knowing who I was going to face or, you know, what I was prepared for. Went into that match. I was really frustrated at that point. I went into that match already kind of with a hot head. Ended up losing the belt. Then after that, I kind of knew I wanted to say something to the fans. I didn't know it was going to go like that. Basically, what ended up happening is I called out several individuals from the Pacific Northwest that I will not mention their name because, let's be real, they're not worth my airtime. I'm not going to give them publicity when they don't deserve it in the first place, but they know exactly who they are. You can find that promo anywhere right about now. So if you're truly inclined to figure out who it is, go ahead and go back and give that a listen. But I gave them the airtime they begged for on social media. I called them out. I called them cowards. I said exactly how I felt about them. And I said when I came back to CPW that the only thing that I would come back for is a shot at the heavyweight title because I felt like I deserved it.
One of the things that you've gotten into in the last year or so on a fairly regular basis is deathmatch wrestling. It's sort of a niche product within the product of professional wrestling. You've become very prevalent in those matches. With those types of matches, injuries occur a little more frequently just because of the nature of what they are. What are some of the injuries that you've sustained as now a deathmatch wrestler?
The biggest injury I've sustained in the last year just from starting the deathmatch stuff actually wasn't even in a deathmatch. It was in a promotion that's known for deathmatches, but I was doing a regular match. I sustained a shoulder injury, which was actually the week prior to CPW. So I sustained a shoulder injury, was still in California, defended the Cruiserweight title the next night, and then a week later, still with a bad shoulder, ended up defending it again at CPW with my obligated title defense that I had already signed up to or whatever. Then I was pretty much injured for the last 2 months, and I kind of worked on it. Like, I did a couple matches here and there on it, but for the most part, this was the first time that I was like, I'm just going to chill out and not do anything crazy because it's a shoulder injury, and it still bothers me some, but, I mean, it's finally at a point where I can be functional.
Now, sometimes people that do death matches on a regular basis make investments in crutches. Some people get multiple pairs because it just seems like a good investment to have those on hand. You can also rent them out to your fellow wrestlers if the need arises. How many pairs of crutches have you found yourself investing in the last year or so?
That's one of those things I personally never invested in them just because it's like I'm always traveling. So it's one more thing I have to try to figure out how to get past TSA. And I'm just not about the hassle of trying to get them to where I need to get them to. So I generally just acquire them when I get to the show and do whatever I got to do, whether it's use them to walk out with or use them on my opponent, whatever the case may be that night.
A little airport tip. If you have crutches, they usually let you board really quick and they carry your bags on for you.
Fun fact, I use my military ID to do all of that. So I'm usually one of the first ones to get on the plane just because of that, no matter where I'm sitting. So I use that to my advantage.
Well, some of us have to break bones to get that.
I'm fortunate enough to not have to do that, but I mean, I don't see it being far off at this point.
One of the hottest promotions in the entire world right now seems to be New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're on Access TV here in the United States. They just co-promoted with Ring of Honor the first non-WWE show in Madison Square Garden in 60 years. They have a standalone tour scheduled for this summer in the United States as well as in Britain. Looking at the Japanese landscape, what do you think makes New Japan so incredibly hot right now with the American fans?
It's something different, and it's not the product that you're normally receiving on Monday or Tuesday nights or even Wednesday nights if you subscribe to the network. It's something fresh. It's something different. It's a completely different style of wrestling, and I think that there's a market for it. You know, you get those guys that used to be tape traders. Now they have full access to the product, and then you get the newer generation that, you know, the YouTube generation, as we'll call them. And, you know, they're like, now I don't have to search far and wide for it. I can dial it up on the internet and be there in like 2 or 3 seconds. So I think it's just something fresh and something different for people to check out.
One of the other things that wrestling fans have been talking about in the last few weeks is a series of documentaries from Viceland. They cover very controversial subjects as the purpose of the documentaries. They've had one on Bruiser Brody's murder, the Montreal Screwjob, the Von Erichs, a few others. Have you seen these documentaries? And if so, do you have an opinion on those?
I'll go ahead and say the only one I've actually gotten a chance to watch at this point is the Bruiser Brody one. But, I mean, being a Texan and then being a guy who's doing hardcore and death matches, you know, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that I was going to end up watching that one first. I'll probably get to the rest of them here over the weekend or if not early next week. But just speaking in general, I think it's a cool concept. And I'm also a big fan of Vice in general, Vice and Viceland, all under the same umbrella. I'm a big fan of that style anyways. It's a different style of news and documentary, and I've been following that product for years. So before it became like a super popular thing. So it was kind of, for me, it's just like, okay, cool. Vice is doing the more cool stuff, and it's something on wrestling too. So that's a nice change up.
One of the things about you that makes you stand out is you have very well-made wrestling gear. The mask, of course, different from what most people wear. You're always using new tights, new boots, that type of thing. Who do you consider some of the go-to gear makers in professional wrestling right now?
Right now, I'm classy as F. I'm not going to say the actual words. It's a family show still. But out of Portland, that's my go-to for as far as pants and my jackets. They're who I use all the time for that kind of stuff. Very rarely have I veered away from them. I think my first set of tights were from Main Event Gear. Other than that, that's the only people I've used since then. Boots and I'm up for a new pair of boots anyway. So anybody know any good boot makers, please message me and let me know all the details and such, because I'm definitely in need of new boots. And my mask is actually from someone in Mexico, Romero's Mask Shop. That's who I use for my mask. That's the only person I've used for my mask. My design hasn't changed in three. My mask hasn't changed very much in 3 years. So, I mean, I'm sticking with what works because it works for me. And, you know, people are always like, oh, I want to change this or I want to change that. But, I mean, if my tights are enough of a change. Sorry about that. But my tights are enough of a change. They're always different. They're always, you know, some pairs are dark, some pairs are bright, you know. But, no, I'm liking what I'm doing right now, and I'm doing what I want to do, not what other people are telling me to do for once. So it's refreshing.
Now, over the last several decades, pretty much since wrestling as a professional sport started, there have been feature films made about professional wrestling. Some of them fairly well made, some of them the exact opposite of that. Have you watched very many of the feature films having to do with professional wrestling, and do you have a particular favorite, if so?
I've watched a handful. I've watched a handful. Nothing like, I haven't went like super in-depth into it because some of them are not the best quality. But as far as a favorite, every year I go back and watch Beyond the Mat. That's kind of a yearly tradition, just at a random time, like I'm going to watch Beyond the Mat. I haven't done it yet this year, but I will. The wrestler, I can't watch now. I watched it once before I started training, and then I watched it, or maybe right at the beginning of my training, I watched it and was like, okay, this is cool. And then I watched it again here a couple months ago as now being a full-fledged wrestler, and I'm just like, I can't watch this again. This is depressing. This is my entire life, and I haven't even been around 3 years yet.
Well, we have hit the point of the show where we have a game we like to play. We call it Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I will give you options of two different choices at a time, and the one that is your personal preference is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
I am. Let's do it.
Trunks or tights?
Tights.
Barbed wire match or falls count anywhere match?
Can I just have them both? But barbed wire by far.
Well, hopefully if there's barbed wire, you're not going all over the place.
I mean, why not? Who said that's against the rules?
Well, it just might be, you know, impractical if you have to go over the barbed wire.
I mean, I can jump.
True. All right, sleeper hold or figure four?
Sleeper.
Baseball or golf?
Baseball by far.
Bear or elk?
Elk.
Lake or indoor swimming pool?
Neither.
Clothesline or arm track?
Clothesline.
Dean Malenko or Dean Ambrose?
Good question. Dean Malenko.
WCW Saturday Night or Saturday Night's main event?
WCW Saturday Night.
All right, and that concludes Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. Well, Phoenix, you spent a lot of time, especially earlier in your career, in Alaska. One of the rules I was told when I worked there was if a moose walks into the venue, the show has to stop. I was told last week that this actually did happen fairly recently. Were you ever on an Alaska show that had to be stopped for moose?
Absolutely not. I would have freaked the word out. I'm not about mooses. I know. Those things are scary. I get out of here with that.
Have you ever come across Mickey Moose Knuckles?
I haven't. No, I just haven't yet. I don't get to venture out on the East Coast or the Midwest like I would want to. A little trickier getting there. But hopefully this year I can pull it. I'm trying to pull it this summer, honestly.
Now, speaking from personal experience, watch your forearm.
I've heard stories. I've heard she's a pretty tough one from the stories I have heard.
I got one or two myself, I could tell you. But she would kill QT. He would not survive it if she even half-heartedly threw a arm at him.
I mean, I thought YT was going to kill QT after he didn't get his fruit pie, but, I mean, that's a whole other story.
That is true. Yeah, he does not like stale fruit pies.
Not at all.
Speaking of fruit pies, we know that diets are often very important to professional wrestlers. Some of them adhere to extremely strict diets. Some of them are a little more lax with their diets. What do you do diet-wise in order to maintain ring shape?
I don't diet. That's what I do. I don't do it. point blank, I don't do it. I'm not trying to be a body guy. I pride myself on not being a body guy. If I'm going to get somewhere, I'm going to get somewhere because of my talent and what I bring to the table and what I have to offer to a promotion, not because I'm 5'4", but I'm jacked and I'm 2% body fat and this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, yes, wrestling is an aesthetic business, but if you're all aesthetic and no talent, then it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. You're going to get exposed when you get in there with somebody like me.
Fair enough.
And kind of along with that really quick, because it's kind of something I harped on in social media, and apparently a few people in the Pacific Northwest got a little butthurt about it, so I'm going to go ahead and address it now if you would afford me a couple of seconds to do so.
Absolutely.
And it's not even just in the Pacific Northwest, but all over we hear people talk about how far they've gone to travel, and I traveled 6 hours, or I traveled 7 hours, or I traveled to another state just to train. That's not really anything to brag about. That's just something you do. I've migrated states and picked up my entire life and moved completely just to get opportunities at wrestling. This is the second time I've done it. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Other guys that I know have gone the far, far further extremes than I have to get an opportunity to do things. So, when you're sitting here bragging about it, you know, it doesn't really make it an accomplishment. It's something you're supposed to do, or, you know, or something you should do if you want to get better. And then, you know, you get mad when people, kind of call you out on it, but at the end of the day, if you're one of these cats that don't really bring anything special to the table and you're only getting your bookings because of your buddies with people and you're getting handouts, you know, kind of the metaphor I sent at Heavy Metal Wrestling, and I posted the picture up yesterday when I attempted to break a man's wrist with a kendo stick, you know, that's kind of a ironic metaphor to how I feel about people with handouts. You know, you ever get in the ring with me, I'll show you that, you know, hard work will get you way farther than just getting booked and getting things just because you're buddies with somebody or because you brag about driving 6 hours when some of us don't have to do that because our work shows. That was for you, Chase James.
There you go. We mentioned Y period, T period a few minutes ago. And he is one of a handful of really good managers that is currently plying their trade on the independents. National promotions just in the last several months have started to slowly bring back a few managers to the national televised promotions. Do you think that the national companies will eventually bring managers back to prominence the way they had 20 to 30 years ago, or do you think that it's a situation where managers aren't going to get as many breaks as they once had for whatever reason?
I would hope managers get more opportunities. All over the indies, you see it. I see it because I somehow end up with a manager everywhere I go. but managers are a very important element to some wrestlers' character development. I will tell anybody off the jump that even considers booking me and YT together, if you want a far more entertaining product, you're going to bring YT with me. I do what I do on my own, and I have a very specific skill set, and I know what I'm capable of on my own. But you add that YT element, and then it's like me and him are in a constant battle to try and top each other. At the same time, we try to complement each other, if that makes a little sense. So it's like you get 10 times more entertainment, and plus we are friends outside of wrestling too. So it's kind of like, well, we can play off of each other better than a lot of people can, that you just kind of throw together and they just kind of figure it out after a while.
At this point in time, QT is standing by, and before Mickey Knuckles finds him and gives him a forearm, I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
No problem.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. Phoenix.
How are you? How are you?
I'm very good. Mr. Phoenix, I'd like to expand on Sign Guy's Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk. Are you ready for Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk, round two?
Of course, bring it.
Okay. Deep fried Twinkie or deep fried Pepsi?
I've never had either, so I can't even, like, give a choice. But I would take a Twinkie over Pepsi.
Okay, over a deep fried Pepsi. Okay, very good. All right. Pro Wrestling Illustrated, rank number one or 500?
Does it really matter? You're on the list.
Well, there's certain quirks and advantages to being number one and also number 500.
I mean, if you want to just be on the cover and get the press, of course you want to be number one. But, I mean, there's so much more you can do with being number 500.
Well, okay. All right. Very good. All right. For reasons that I won't say or tell my listeners, I myself would much rather be 500.
I don't care as long as I'm on the list because it's good. It's going into my moniker as soon as I'm on there.
Oh, okay. All right. Marilyn Monroe or Marilyn Manson?
I like Marilyn Manson's music, so I'm going to go with him.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me see here. Donald Trump or Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon, by far.
All right. The Baconator at Burger King or pan-seared Chilean sea bass?
Due to the fact that I don't eat pork, I'm going to go with the second one.
Okay, pan-seared Chilean sea bass, okay. And the last one, Marsha Brady or Kelly Coco of the Big Bang Theory?
I'm just going to go with Marsha Brady for the simple fact that I cannot stand the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, okay. Now, are you saying you'd like to see Kaylee Coco get hit in the nose by a football? Is that what you're saying?
That would be hilarious. I might actually watch the show for about 5 seconds if that ever happened.
Whoa, okay. Very, very interesting. I'm going to mark that down. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, have you yourself signed the Turnbuckle Turmoil guest book?
I think I signed it after my first appearance. This is like number four now, I think. I'm pretty sure I signed it. I have, you know, after going to glass so many times, you kind of forget things.
Okay. Sign Guy, can you confirm that Mr. Phoenix has indeed signed our guest book? Sign Guy?
Looking at the book, okay. He has.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, you mentioned earlier to Sign Guy your interest in the subject of vice. My question is, were you a big fan of Mr. Fuji and Don Morocco in Fuji Vice?
I've never even heard of this, and now I'm, like, kind of curious. That sounds like an amazing odd couple.
Okay. Well, Sign Guy, I'm sure, will send you a clip of Mr. Fuji and Don Morocco in the Fuji Vice. Or I could. Yes.
Please do. One of you, please do, because this sounds, like, beyond amazing right now. Like, I wanna go look it up right now.
Oh, it was amazing. It was fantastic. You know, with those two acting together. And that led into my next question, but I don't think you will be able to answer it until you have watched Fuji Vice. But my question was, if Cat Galore would take the role of Mr. Fuji in a series called Northwest Vice, who could you see in the role of Don Morocco?
I would have to see it first before I say anything. I have an idea in my head, but I want to see the clip first before I confirm that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, when you do see the series for Fuji Vice, and we at Turnbuckle Turmoil create Northwest Vice, you might want to keep the Jack in mind for the role of Don Morocco. I'm just throwing that out there. Yes.
Oh, I have someone in mind, but I have to see the clips to make sure that I'm not like so far off base.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, you mentioned to Sun Guy earlier that you got on planes with kind of front-of-the-line privileges with your military ID. Can you tell our listeners what branch of service you were in?
I was in the Army. Now I'm in the Army Reserve, so it's kind of like I didn't really do anything different. Instead of playing Army every day, I play Army once a month now. I think this is like the first time that I've like super like openly said that too, because every once in a while I mention it on social media, but I think this is like one of the first times I've like actually been like, yeah, whatever, it's what I do.
Wow. Okay. Can we ask your rate in the Army, or what job you do? Your rate.
I won't give my rate, but I mean, I do stuff. I'll leave it at that. Probably end up spilling it later, but I'm in the middle of a job change, actually, so I'd rather not say what I'm changing to right now or what I do. If someone was to ask me privately, I would probably tell them, but I'd rather not say on air.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, how were the cooks in the Army? The cooks.
I mean, they can cook, but they're idiots most of the time.
Oh. Oh, okay. Okay. Very good.
And
all right.
Just being fair.
Well, Mr. Phoenix, it's well known that some wrestling belts are more coveted than others. Let's say hypothetically that you were wrestling for an organization with whom you had a dislike for the promoter and several of its staff, but you were booked on his card anyway through circumstances beyond your control. Let's say you won one of its belts. Would you go home and put it in the refrigerator or under the bed so you would not have to look at it?
First of all, I would say, no, I'm not doing that because that's disrespectful. Number two, to the person who decided to do that after winning a belt that they were allegedly proud of, I'm talking to you, Cubby. Oh, I'm calling everybody out today. It's one of those shows. Talking to you, Cubby. Why would you put it in the refrigerator if you're proud of it? That's your home promotion. That's the place that pretty much made you relevant. And you decided after you just main evented in front of 700 plus people in the show box, you decided the coolest thing you could do with your belt was to put it in the refrigerator. Give me a break. I'm gonna say I thought it was disrespectful and downright pitiful that you needed attention so much that you had to do something like that. You know, I'm sorry, I can't respect that. And I know I'm going to get flagged for it, and I'm sure it's going to get back to it, and I'm sure people are going to be mad, and they're going to want to try to make me the villain of the whole situation. But at the end of the day, nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, can justify that and tell me one good reason why they thought that was a good idea and why the promotion shouldn't strip him of his title right then and there.
Wow, well said. Okay, strong words, very good. All right.
As a matter of fact, I want to make sure sorry to cut you off, but I want to make sure that of all things gets out publicly that I thought that was disrespectful, and I thought that he should be stripped of his title immediately after he did that.
Well, this is the perfect forum to do so. Yes. We do reach a lot of listeners. Okay. Well, Mr. Phoenix, When you did go down and took part in that event called Heavy Metal Wrestling, where exactly did that take place? What city in Texas?
Sorry, one more time. I missed a little bit of that question. I'm sorry.
Where did your event that you recently competed in with that Kindlestick, the Heavy Metal Wrestling, what city did that take place in?
Yes, Heavy Metal Wrestling out in San Antonio, Texas. It was my debut for the promotion. Just to give a little backstory on, because I know the picture doesn't say very much. I was originally scheduled to face my my real life best friend of 15 years, Connor Crunk, trainee of Booker T's Reality of Wrestling School. Really, really good competitor. We were originally scheduled to have a hardcore match. About a week prior to our match, he suffered a concussion. Ironically enough, the next day I did a deathmatch tournament. Going into the show, it was kind of up in the air if he was going to be able to compete. Camp show night, he wasn't able to. I faced his tag team partner instead, and I made a very, very clear statement that unlike when I was in the Pacific Northwest, here in Texas, especially in heavy metal wrestling, which is one of the premier promotions in Texas, I'm not here to play games. I'm not here to just be happy to be on the card and smiley under the mask Phoenix Kid. No, I'm coming to win belts, and I'm coming to just show that I am everything that I've said I am for the last 3 years.
Wow. All right. Okay. Good enough. Mr. Phoenix, do you believe that someday someone will bring in a Kindlestick that is about as long as a pole vault pole? Just for show, and to hype himself, a near pole vault pole length Kindlestick.
At this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if anything that happens in wrestling.
Oh, okay. It's just that I have been on a quest to combine track and field with wrestling. Yeah, I think you knew this. Yes.
You better pole vault into the ring if you do something like that. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I've always wanted to pole vault over the top rope. Yes.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Well, I'd like to see Paul Moonshine try it. That's what I'm getting at. Paul Moonshine.
Good luck.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, yesterday was the first day of the NFL draft. And when each selection was picked, the commentators would say if they liked the pick or why not, and what he would bring to the team that selected him. For example, say if the Packers selected a center, you might hear something like this. With the departure this season of all-pro center These Nuts to Miami, T. Jones, all-star center from Alabama, will step into his spot and start immediately. T. Jones has 2 sacks at Alabama his senior year. Not so good, but he was playing without his upper right bicuspid. T. ran a 9.3 40-yard dash at the combine. Not good at all, but he did so in Dutch shoes because he forgot his regular shoes. My question is, say if a promotion like Combat Pro Wrestling had a 2019 draft and you had never wrestled, Mr. Phoenix, if you had never wrestled, what they would say about you if you joined the Combat Pro Wrestling draft? What could they say about you, the commentators?
He's a black guy in a mask, and his gear looks good. ...
Well, if CPW had a draft tomorrow and Turnbuckle Turmoil member Dimitri was commentating, what would he say about just selected member Just Exciting?
That he can't apply a proper front face lock, and he doesn't know how to apply a proper front face lock, and we should name him the shooter because he thinks he's a shooter, but he's really not, and that he's one of those cats that only really gets by handouts and hiding behind promotions, booking him a certain way when he doesn't deserve it.
Wow, okay. Well, in all fairness, and speaking candidly, do you think Y period T period could run a 9.3 40-yard dash? Could he do so?
He probably run faster than that.
Oh, okay.
Give me just one second.
Oh, okay.
Feel free to hum, QT.
All right, sorry about that.
All right. Mr. Phoenix, I saw your YouTube video entitled Kane Jaden versus Phoenix Kid versus Just Exciting CPW, and this took place in Seattle on November 4th, 2017. Why period T period Jones was really upset at the announcer Dimitri because he said it was his job to introduce his client and not the announcers. He then went on to say, ladies and gentlemen of the Pimp Nation and CPW, coming to the ring at this time, he is not only the next CPW Cruiserweight Champion, he is the last frontier open weight champion. He is Mr. Seven Tone himself. He is Apollo's last gift. I give you the Phoenix Kid. Stand on your feet. My question is, do you yourself have medical insurance and workman's compensation for being in the pimp stable?
I mean, it comes with more benefits than that. But I mean, yeah, I will say yes. Yes, I do.
Well, okay, medical insurance and workman's. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, Dr. Seuss once said, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Would you agree with him in reference to your match over in Idaho for Wrestle Club? Would you agree with Dr. Seuss?
I haven't made it to Idaho. I want to go to Idaho. I haven't made it to Idaho yet.
All right, you'll just plug that Dr. Seuss quote in for the future when you do go there. Okay, very good. All
right. Right. Yeah. I think in general that quote's fair. I mean, I guess I can smile because things happen. I mean, I can apply that to just about anything, really, honestly.
All right, very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Phoenix, the great Bob Marley said, why drink and drive when I can smoke and fly? My question is, did you drive to Texas last week or did you fly?
I flew.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Phoenix, the great Bob Marley also said, you entertain people who are satisfied. Hungry people can't be entertained, or people who are afraid. You can't entertain a man who has no food. My question is, was this Bob Marley quote influenced by Snack the Jack, one half of the pizza party?
I imagine it wasn't, but I imagine if Bob Marley was here today to see Jack the Snack, he would have more quotes like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well said. All right. Well, Mr. Phoenix, signed I or myself will try to give you that food. We'll try to send you that Fuji Vice video. And when you do, take your time, look it over, and then get back to signed I and answer the question if Cat Galore would take on the role of Mr. Fuji in Northwest Vice, who would take on the role of Don Morocco. Both signed up and myself will look forward to your answer.
Definitely, no doubt.
Well, okay. Back to you, Sangai.
Thank you, QT. Now, I can confirm Fuji Vice has been sent to your book of faces, Phoenix Kid.
Yes, I will check it out in just a minute.
Now, one of the things that has become very popular in the last few years with the advancement of technology is streaming live wrestling events. Lots of independent companies use various methods to stream their shows, such as Twitch, Roku, Fight TV, nothing else on TV. There's lots of services out there. What do you think of the trend of wrestling companies streaming all of their live shows?
I personally like it, not only from a fan standpoint, but from a wrestling standpoint. It makes it a lot easier to get access to your footage when I know some promotions have a very difficult time in getting matches out or getting footage to the guys that need it to further develop their resume. So it makes things a lot easier on both parts. The wrestler has quality footage to use. The fans have quality matches to watch. The promotion hopefully makes money off of it and gets more eyes on it. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Now, as someone that has entered the deathmatch wrestling recently, there's a lot of deathmatch wrestling icons that were around 20, 25 years ago when that type of style was really becoming a prevalent niche part of wrestling. You have guys like Necro Butcher, Madman Pondo, Ian Rotten, guys like that. Are there any of the hardcore wrestlers that were known for deathmatch wrestling that are still active a little bit that you would most want to face as a sort of a newcomer to the genre against one of the legends of the genre?
It's funny that you say that, because literally last Saturday at Heavy Metal Wrestling, I got to watch one of my deathmatch idols, Masada, wrestle one of the guys, Ruben Steele, in a deathmatch. And immediately after the match, I ran to the back like a little kid and was like, Masada, that was such a great match. But no, that's definitely one of the guys, if I had to pick one that I know for a fact is still active, that I hope to get an opportunity to wrestle again. That's my big one. Masada is a genius. Not only can he wrestle, but he can deathmatch and brawl with the best of them. And he's kind of the blueprint of what I want to be, a deathmatch wrestler that can actually wrestle, not just a deathmatch wrestler that does crazy stuff and gets exposed like that.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time to plug and promote. So if there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, merchandise, upcoming appearances, social medias, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
That's funny. I have nothing I can openly promote right now because a lot of things are either still in talks or they haven't been announced yet, and I don't want to go ahead and jump the bubble on things. But I will say that I will be in California in June. So look out early June for California. I'll be back at Heavy Metal here in May. I'll be debuting in a new promotion in Dallas here in May as well. So be on the lookout for that, all that info coming out. There's a new shirt in development. Just follow my Facebook and Instagram, Phoenix Kids, and for the Instagram, it's going to be Phoenix Kids CFR. Just follow those and make sure you're on the lookout for those updates, because right now I can't give them out, but I promise you when they do come out, they'll be well worth the wait.
Well, I look forward to getting all the latest info when it is able to be put forth to the masses. And I want to thank you for being a returning guest today. Always a pleasure to hear from you. I'm sure we'll have you back on sooner rather than later. And I look forward to the next time we cross paths.
Always. Thank you for having me. Have a good night.
All right, fans, if you get the chance to see Phoenix Kid, no matter where in the country he is performing, go buy yourself a ticket. He's very good at what he does. You will not be disappointed. Phoenix always very, very good in the ring, no matter if it's a regular professional wrestling match, a death match, or somewhere in between. Always going to give you your money's worth out there, so go support him and what he does. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon, scheduled to have Eric Draven on the show for the first time. Very surprisingly enough, we have not had Eric Draven on the show from Supreme Wrestling, so he will be here to talk about the huge show coming to Supreme Wrestling May 11th with Jerry the King Lawler, Dangerous Doug Gilbert, and the Gift Jason Kincaid, all scheduled to appear on that. So join us Sunday, and a week from today, Funny Bone will be with us. His first time on the show, Funny Bone, great veteran wrestler. He's been making strides up here in the Pacific Northwest recently. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts on the industry up here. So make plans to be with us. Get out there, support some independent professional wrestling this week. There's a ton of shows out there. Find yourself one and support what we're doing.